Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So today we'll be reading from Canto 3, Chapter 26, which is titled as Fundamental Principles of Material Nature. We'll be focusing on text number 10 of Chapter 26. The verse is as follows. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Yattat Trigunam Avyaktam.
Yattat Trigunam Avyaktam.
Nityam Sarasat Atmakam.
Nityam Sarasat Atmakam.
Pradhanam Prakritim Prahu.
Pradhanam Prakritim Prahu.
Avishesham Visheshava. Trigunam avyaktam.
Yattat trigunam avyaktam.
Nityam sadasat atmakam.
Nityam sadasat atmakam.
Pradhanam prakritim prahur.
Pradhanam prakritim prahur.
Avishesham visheshavat.
Avishesham visheshavat.
Yattat trigunam avyaktam.
Yattat trigunam avyaktam.
Nityam sadasat atmakam.
Nityam sadasat atmakam.
Pradhanam prakritim prahur.
Pradhanam prakritim prahur.
Avishesham visheshavat.
Avishesham visheshavat.
Bhagavan uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan uvacha.
The Supreme Personality of God had said.
The Supreme Personality of God had said.
Yes.
Yes.
Now further.
Now further.
That.
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 Trigunam.
Trigunam.
Combination of three modes.
Combination of three modes.
Avyaktam.
Avyaktam.
Unmanifested.
Unmanifested.
Nityam.
Nityam.
Eternal.
Eternal.
Sat asat atmakam.
Sat asat atmakam.
Consisting of cause and effect.
Consisting of cause and effect.
Pradhanam.
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 The Pradhana.
Prakriti.
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 Prahu.
Prahu.
Nikal.
Nikal.
Avishesham.
Avishesham.
Undifferentiated.
Undifferentiated.
Visheshavat.
Visheshavat.
Possessing differentiation.
Possessing differentiation.
The Supreme Personality of God had said, the unmanifested eternal combination of the three modes is the cause of the manifest state and is called Pradhana. The Supreme Personality of God had said, the unmanifested eternal combination of the three modes is the cause of the manifest state and is called Pradhana. It is called Prakriti when in the manifested stage of existence. It is called Prakriti when in the manifested stage of existence. The Lord points out material nature in its subtle stage, which is called Pradhana. And he analyzes this Pradhana. The explanation of Pradhan and Prakriti is that Pradhan is the subtle, undifferentiated sum total of all material elements. Although they are undifferentiated, one can understand that the total material elements are contained therein. When the total material elements are manifested by the interaction of the three modes of material nature, the manifestation is called Prakriti. Impersonalists say that Brahman is without variegatedness and without differentiation. One may say that Pradhan is the Brahman stage, but actually the Brahman stage is not Pradhan. Pradhan is distinct from Brahman because in Brahman there is no existence of the modes of material nature. One may argue that the Mahatattva is also different from Pradhan because in the Mahatattva, there are manifestations. The actual explanation of Pradhan, however, is given here. When the cause and effect are not clearly manifested, when the cause and effect are not clearly manifested or avyakta, the reaction of the total elements does not take place, and that stage of material nature is called Pradhan. Pradhan is not the time element. Pradhan is not the time element because in the time element there are actions and reactions, creation and annihilation. Nor is it the jiva or marginal potency of living entities or designated conditional living entities because the designations of the living entities are not eternal. One adjective used in this connection is nitya, which indicates eternality. Therefore, the condition of material nature immediately previous to its manifestation is called pradhan. Therefore, the condition of material nature immediately previous to its manifestation is called pradhan. Om Agyanatimirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manoharishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Adhyamayam Tathati Swapadanyam Kam Karoti Vachalam Mangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Mahamande Sri Guru Dinatarinam Vachakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
these people, yes, they had all the tattoo, everything is fine,
But at the end of the day, they needed someone who is outside the jail to be able to help them to get out of the jail. Not someone who can, yes, someone from inside also can help, but ultimately someone outside is also required, who has got nothing to do with that jail. There outside there is a van which is waiting, someone has organized all that and then they have escaped. So, Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has created this jail, but He can help us escape from this jail because he is not of this jail, he is outside this jail. Yatha mahanti bhutani bhuteshu chava cheshvanu pravishthani apravishthani tatha teshu na teshvanu. This is one of the chatushloki of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is there in the second canto. So the emperor verses. So it says that the Lord is within as well as without. So yes, he has created this material world. He has created the laws by which the conditioned living entities are bound within the grip of this material world, but he is outside of this material world and he is not governed by the laws which he himself has created, which rule this material world. So, Karna Mahuni is explaining these aspects to Devahuti. Up until now, he has been doing that. So, Karna Mahuni, sorry, not Kapila Muni. Something about that. So, Kapila Muni is explaining to his mother that. Now, we are doing some programs, you know, because Kartik month is there, so we are doing several programs, you know, around Melbourne. So, last 2 weeks, we have done a couple of programs. So, in one of the programs, we asked people, what kind of, do you want to come back into this material world? So, almost everyone raised their hands. Then we said, what do you want to become when you come back into this material world? They said, human being. So he said, if you really want to pray to the Lord, he said, yeah, we'll pray that you should come back as a human being. So he said, if I give you a birth as a human being in Mosul, in Syria, how many of you want? Everyone's hand went up. So nobody wants to be born in, you know, Syria, or nobody wants to be born in Afghanistan, you know, where a lot of trouble is going on right now. So then he said, where do you want to be born? And everyone was thinking, where to be born? Okay. Australia maybe? And then they were sure. He said, considering the job situation in Australia, do you want to be born in Melbourne again? So obviously no one had answered. They were thinking very hard. How about India? But that's the country you left in this lifetime. So do you want to go back to that country and then again apply PR and then come here? So everyone was confused. So if we start thinking in that way, where do I want to be born? Even as a human being, then it's very difficult. And even if we are born in Australia, some of the children were there. They have all studied in the Australian education system. So we said, do you want to take your VCE exams again? All over again, would you like to prepare? They said, no, sorry, never again. End of that misery. Just 2 days back, my son also wrote one paper of VCE. He said, I'm going to get rid of this book now. He was fed up. So nobody wants to interact with material nature. Because material nature is kashtan kaman arhate with bhujanti. Very, very difficult. Material nature makes us work like a donkey. So who wants to come back into this world and start building up the credentials from A for apple, B for biscuit, C for chocolate, and then on to your whatever the skill sets that we have to obtain, which sometimes don't even get us a job with all the credentials, right? So this is a miserable material world and we have to keep continuing to work. That day in office, I was discussing one of the senior managers in the department. So he was asking me, what do you want to do in life? So I said, I want to retire soon. What? You're just, you know, whatever my age is. So he said, look at me. So he's already probably, you know, 60 or something like that. So he said, I want another 15-20 years to go. I said, what? You're going to plan to work till 80? Yeah. What is there to do? I mean, I can't sit at home either. So he's already planning at 60 to work till 80 years old. So no one in this world knows the goal of life. Of course, I didn't probe him much because I want to retain my job. Tell him too much about detachment, he may detach me. I'm still not ready for it. So I kept silent. But I was thinking that this is how material world keeps you bound. Even hard work keeps one bound. People like to work hard like donkeys. And they want to work till 80. And then they'll die one day. That's all. So Kartava Muni is explaining to, Kapila Muni is explaining to Devahuti that it is Lord Krishna who gives this forgetfulness of the goal of life through what is called as Mahamaya and helps us identify with our kshetra, with our field of activities and get attached to those field of activities So much so that we start identifying with those field of activities. So, it is very important to understand Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya Yoga helps us understand who we are. Again, you know, in all these programs that we do, we ask this question, who am I? Yesterday only we did a program, which was pretty late into the night. And we asked this question, can anyone say, who am I? So I chose some members from the audience and started and asking each of them, who they think they are. So someone said, I am human being. So another person also said, I am also human being. The third person started giving a purport. Well, actually I am my work and I am all my achievements and this and that. So it started identifying with all the hard work that the person has done. And this person was pretty elderly, you know. So when you start, when you continue working like this for so many years of hard work you have put in material energy, then you start identifying with that. So it says that I am what I have done. Something like that. So people do not have an idea of who am I, and that's where Sankhya Yoga comes in picture. Where Lord Kapila is teaching his mother that we are not this material body. We are the spirit soul which is resident inside this material body. Lord Kapila is explaining to Mother Devahuti that Lord Krishna's material energy is eternal. Lord Krishna's material energy is eternal. Yes, the manifestation of that material energy is temporal. But the energy itself is eternal. All of Lord Krishna's energies are eternal in nature. So is the material energy. So, Lord Krishna's material energy is eternal in its subtle form. In the gross form, it manifests and unmanifests based upon the cyclic program that Lord Himself has designed. So, Devahuti now wants to know what is the operational model, if you like. How do things operate under Lord Krishna's jurisdiction? And two of the subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sarga and Visarga, the primary creation and the secondary creation, is now being covered in that order. So, we all understand that Lord Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Itesham Chakala Pumshu Krishna's two incarnations. So, Srila Prabhupada has clarified in the Srimad Bhagavatam for all of us from various other scriptures, drawing from various other scriptures, that Lord Krishna first expands as Balram. Balramji expands as the Chaturvyuha, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna. From that comes Narayana, from that Mula Sankarshan, from the first Sankarshan. And then from that Narayana comes the second set of Chaturvyuha incarnations. Again Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. The second Sankarshan called as Mahasankarshan. From that Mahasankarshan comes Mahavishnu. So all these entities, Purushavataras, they are all situated in the spiritual world. In fact, almost as if like an interface between the spiritual world and the material world, Mahavishnu is lying on the Karanodakshai ocean, or the Viraja river, the causal ocean. So he is lying there, and from his pose then millions of universes come out from his breathing. And then into each universe then there is a Lord Brahma. Into each universe there is Sirodakshai Vishnu, from whose level Brahma comes. And then Brahma gets the knowledge of how to use the ingredients which are already provided, and how to use the laws which have already been designed by the Lord, just to put them into implementation and thus create the material world, which is called as the secondary creation of the Visarga. So this is pretty much well covered in different sections of the Bhagavatam. We have heard this many times over. So what is important to understand here, then, of course, is that it is being reiterated that Lord Krishna is the cause of all causes. He is the source of Brahman too. Yes, Lord Krishna is the source of Balramji and so many incarnations, but Lord Krishna is the source of Brahman too. In Bhagavad Gita 14.27, Lord Krishna says, Brahman, Brahmano hi pratishtha aham. I am the source of all Brahman. Because the Mayavadis and the Brahmavadis also think that Krishna is a product of Brahman. But Krishna is not a product of Brahman. Lord Krishna, Brahman is the energy of Krishna. Brahman comes out of the body of Lord Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam cover also, if you see the first canto cover, you will see the blue color cover with lot of small circles, which are each one is a planet, and within each of the planet there is a 400 deity form with different permutations and combinations of Shankha, Chakra, Gada and Padma. For example, one planet is ruled by Vasudeva, one planet by Narsingadeva, one by Lord Ramachandra, so on and so forth. However, and all these planets are floating in the spiritual sky, which is none other than Brahman. So, and Lord Krishna is resident in the highest planet, Goloka Vrindavan. From his body, the effulgence comes, enlightens the whole spiritual world, as well as the sun, through whom we get light on this earth. Now, everything created from in this material world also has its root or source in the Brahman. Originally, the Brahman which comes out of the body of the Lord is called as Nirguna Brahman. Why is it called as Nirguna Brahman? Because Nirguna Brahman is Nirguna, means without material qualities. So, that Brahman which comes out of the pores of the body of Lord Krishna is not contaminated with any, it's unalloyed by the modes of material nature. Therefore, it is called as Nirguna Brahman. That Nirguna Brahman is the source of spirit and matter. For example, if you take a utensil in the house, okay, and you start questioning, what is this utensil made of? Then you do a backward integration, and then you will realize that the utensil is made of steel. Then if you say, where does steel come from? Steel comes from iron ore. Where does iron ore come from? Iron ore comes from earth. Where does earth come from? And that scientific query stops. Nobody can explain. Right? But if one goes beyond that, then one would understand that the primal cosmic substance is called as Nirguna Brahman, from which everything has manifested. Everything spiritual as well as everything material has manifested from Nirguna Brahman. But Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mayadhyakshena Prakrite Soyate Sacharachara. He says that Brahman and anything else that is coming from Brahman, everything is happening under my adhyaksha, my jurisdiction, Mayadhyakshena Prakrite. This entire Prakriti or cosmic manifestation is operating under my jurisdiction. So Devamuti is also being explained by Lord Kapila that why did Lord create the material world? So, Lord Kapila Muni is explaining, and Prabhupada is also giving the purport, that the living entities, the jivas, want to experience independent enjoyment from the Lord, what is also called as Purusha Bhava. So, in order to think of us as individual Lord Krishnas in our own right, we need to be covered by illusion. In the spiritual world, there is no covering by illusion. There is a different kind of Maya which operates there, which is called as Mahamaya. But in the material world and in the spiritual world, everyone is a servant of Krishna. The whole purpose is to, even if you want to fight with Krishna, still you have to be a servant of Krishna. But in the material world, we all want to be enjoy like Krishna. We don't want to enjoy with Krishna. So therefore, we have to be covered by illusion. So therefore, the Lord creates the three modes of material nature. So it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam how this universe is created. Originally, the spiritual planets are there and everything is floating under Nirguna Brahman. But in one corner of the spiritual sky, it is mentioned there is a cloud. That cloud is called as Pradhan. That is what Prabhupada is also explaining here. That cloud is called as Pradhan, and that is the primary cosmic substance from which everything manifests. That Pradhan is explained here is the subtlest form of matter. It is not at all gross, it's completely subtle. The subtlest form of matter. That Pradhan is explained in this purport is undifferentiated. Which means it's homogeneous, you can't dissect it in any manner. It is called as the sum total of all material elements. That Pradhan is the sum total of all material elements. And that Pradhan is also called as Saguna Brahman. So we talked about Nirguna Brahman, which is the effulgence which is coming out of the body of the Lord, which does not contain the three modes of material nature as an ingredient. But now this Pradhan is being referred to as Saguna Brahman. Because this Pradhan contains within itself the three modes of material nature in its subtlest form. But the three modes of material nature, though it's contained, is not active. For example, those who are in IT will understand, there is something called as a batch program. A batch program runs every night. It can run in the day also. I will not go into details, but usually typically a batch program is run in the night. So all the journals are uploaded and in the morning the batch program runs and the general ledger is populated in the system, for example. Okay. So this batch program somebody has created and left in the system. But unless this batch program is activated, it does not really start working and does not create those general ledger postings, if you like. Okay. So just like that, Pradhan is still there with the three modes of material ledger, but this Pradhan cannot act in itself. It has to be externally activated by the Lord. And how does the Lord activate this Pradhan? He does it through his glance. So Mahavishnu, who is lying on the causal ocean, is glancing at this dark cloud, which is called as Pradhan, whenever he desires. And when he glances it, he impregnates this Pradhan. So in that sense, Pradhan is also the source of Prakriti, the female part. So the Lord impregnates the Pradhan. That impregnation is the glance of Mahavishnu through the assistance of Rama Devi, the Lord. And all this is explained in the earlier canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Through this, the Lord impregnates that. And now that Pradhan, when impregnated by the glance of Mahavishnu, becomes transformed into what is known as Mahat Tattva. And so Mahat Tattva is nothing but the activated or agitated state of Pradhan, the differentiated state of Pradhan. So in Mahat Tattva, everything becomes differentiated. And when things are differentiated, then they all become manifest in their gross or their subtle forms. So the Sammam Bonam of this section is nothing but describing this sequence in which things happen. Now, Prabhupada also goes on to explain in this section that this Saguna Brahman contains 25 elements. The five external gross elements, which are earth, water, fire, air and ether, which all of us know. Then there are five external subtle elements, which are smell, sound, taste, touch and color. So there are five external gross elements, five external subtle elements, and there are five knowledge acquiring senses. All this is contained within that Saguna Brahman. Five knowledge acquiring senses, which are smell, hearing, taste, touch and sight. And then there are five outward organs of action. So there is knowledge senses and there are action senses. What are the five outward organs of action? Speaking, which we do through the mouth, working through the hands, travel through legs, generation, which happens through the procreation, which happens through the genitals, and evacuation, which happens through the anus. So, five outward organs of action. And then it is mentioned there are four internal subtle senses: the mind, the intelligence, man, buddhi, ahankar, the false ego, and contaminated consciousness or chit, which is contaminated. So these are four internal subtle senses, and then one mixing element which mixes all of this, which is called as time in the form of past, present and future. So it is mentioned that out of all this, time is the one where the influence of God is felt maximum by human beings, because time finishes everything. No matter how much money one has, no matter how happy one is, one is always afraid of death, because death means losing everything and starting over all again. Right? So this time factor is where the influence of God is felt by everyone. Now it is also mentioned that each of these internal senses, the four internal subtle senses which we talked about, mind, intelligence, false ego and the contaminated consciousness, it is mentioned that each of these internal senses is meant to worship one particular aspect of Chaturvyuha. Chaturvyuha is Vasudev, Sankarshan, Anirudh and Pradyumna. But each of this is worshipped to overcome one of these, mind, intelligence, false ego and contaminated consciousness. So therefore it is mentioned that to get release from false ego, which is Ahankar, one has to worship Lord Shankarshan. One has to worship Lord Shankarshan through the worship of Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shankarshan is being always worshipped by Lord Shiva as an Ishtadev. So, one has to worship Lord Shankarshan through Lord Shiva to overcome false ego. To purify the mind, so false ego we talked about, now the mind, man. To purify the mind and free it from all mental disturbances, then one is advised to worship Aniruddha. So earlier it was Shankarshan, now it is Aniruddha. False ego, Shankarshan, mind, Aniruddha. And Lord Aniruddha is to be worshipped through worshipping the moon planet. Okay, that is also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Now coming to intelligence. to be fixed in our intelligence. Then it is recommended that we worship Lord Pradyumna. Lord Pradyumna is worshipped through Lord Brahma. And then finally, to purify the chitta or the contaminated consciousness, one is advised to worship the super soul through the super soul's expansion as Vasudev. So we have false ego for which we worship Sankarshan. We have to purify the mind for which we worship Aniruddha. We have to purify our intelligence, which is Pradyumna, and to purify the chitta or the consciousness through worshipping the super soul, through connecting with the super soul, and that is Vasudev. So we also know, we discussed that, you know, once the primary creation happens, then how does the secondary creation happen? Lord enters as Shirodakshaya Vishnu, Brahma comes out from the navel. There are 14 planetary systems. Lord Brahma is given the knowledge, because Lord Brahma, he tries to do astral travel and tries to understand how to do secondary creation. He doesn't succeed. So he does tapa. Tapa means austerity. By that then he invokes the blessing and mercy of the Lord. The Lord gives him darshan and the Lord gives him Brahma Samhita, through which Lord Brahma gets the knowledge of secondary creation and what is and why things are as such. And then he does the secondary creation. Now, what is the point, central point in all this? The point is that if we do not understand who we are, if we do not understand the temporary nature of our material existence, then we will have no incentive to pursue spiritual life. For example, whenever we do programs, we hardly start with Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is a very, very advanced realization. It may seem simple to devotees, but it is very, very complex for the people who are hearing for the first time. Because they have to understand so many things. First, they have to start understanding who they are. Then they have to start understanding what is the goal of life. Then they have to understand, does God exist? Right? Then they have to understand, if God exists, how to understand Him. So first of all, faith in scriptures have to come. Because it is only scriptures which tell Lord Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is not going to come and stand in front of us and say that, look, I have appeared, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If He does so, then we may say, oh, you have come so cheaply, you cannot be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anyway, we will argue, even if He comes, right? If we can't see, then we say, I can't see, therefore the God doesn't exist. So people will argue till the cows come home. So there has to be a particular sequence in which people have to be made aware, and then eventually they will come to the point of understanding Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So unless one is made to understand the temporary nature of material life and the perils of the cycle of birth, getting trapped in the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death, one will have no incentive. One may say, I want to come back as a human being in the next lifetime, but then Srimad Bhagavatam itself, it is written, Tatascha Anudinam Dharmam Satyam Shaucham Shamadaya Kalena Balina Rajan Nangshati Ayubaram Smriti. So the material world, it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, is going to rot. Okay, it is not going to improve. So we were asking yesterday in the program, okay, technology, has it improved? Everyone raised their hands. Nowadays, through a touch of a button, you can talk to your mother. If you would have told 100 years back, you want to talk to your mother, just touch this button. She'll say, hey, what? Can't believe it. But today, just touch a button and then you can talk to your mother or father who is, across the ocean. Right? So nobody would have believed. So technology definitely is going up. But what about age? We ask the members, what about age? Yeah, it's going down. But then medical science has improved. But age is going down. Ayu, balam, strength, is it going down or up? So there was one person from Punjab who was sitting. He definitely agreed. He said, Punjab is usually, parda de baap, they were very strong. They used to take milk and chas and parathe and then build big bodies. But today, sitting in front of the computer full day, our body is virtually useless. At 40, we have diabetes and so many other diseases. Backache, then we have to go to the Kaiser training and do a lot of exercise. To just keep our health, what to speak of bodybuilding. Just maintaining whatever Krishna has given us itself is very difficult, that time. And we never know when we will lose. So we are living very artificial lives. So therefore, there is no merit. And then, so balam is going down, smriti, remembrance, memory is also going down. So nothing is being enhanced in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is not going to facilitate more and more. At least today, we have the facility that today, thankfully, the government is allowing us to chant and perform Nagar Sankirtan. We don't know what will happen. It is said that this material world will be ruled by third class and fifth class men in the future. So who wants to come back into this material world?
Tomorrow, the people who are controlling Mosul, they will be the people who may be ruling the world. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is telling that such people will rule the world. So who wants to come back? At that time, even if you say Krishna, your body will be separated from, head and body will get from here. So who wants to come into this material world again? Of course, devotees have a different mood. Devotees' mood is Swarga, Apavarga, Naraka. Pure devotees, of course. Swarga, Apavarga, Narakeshu, Apiturya, Darshan. They say that no problem. Even if you give me birth in Afghanistan, anywhere, oh my Lord, may I come to deliver your holy name. So a pure devotee can even deliver Syria and Afghanistan. No problem. Right? So devotees are willing to risk their lives because the devotee's purpose of existence is only to serve the Lord. So a devotee in one sense does not even desire liberation or moksha. Like yesterday we were asking people, what is the goal of life? Out of 30 people, only 2 told moksha. All others said to come again as a human being. Okay. So, and of course, 2 of them said that does God exist? So there was an interesting set of people. So if we take a short-term view of life, if we do not understand reincarnation, the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death, then we will only work for short-term goals, which is called as prayers. Whereas if we understand the eternality of existence, then that is called as shreyas, or working for the long-term existence. And Sankhya Yoga gives that long-term perspective to us. And that's why Sankhya Yoga is where it is, in its right place. So as I said, devotees are not only interested in escaping the material world, but also in developing loving relationships with the Lord. So devotees, yes,
we do accept Sankhya Yoga.
We take it as a lesson of standard 1 or standard 2 or standard 3 if you like. But devotees don't stop their spiritual education with Sankhya Yoga. Because a devotee understands that the goal of life ultimately is to develop love for the Lord. Or not only just understand material science and escape the material world. That is not the mood of a devotee. Devotees understand who Lord Krishna is. Lord Krishna is not only Mukti Data, the giver of liberation, but devotees have a higher understanding of Lord Krishna as Akhila Rasamrita Murti. That is the highest understanding, which Rupa Goswami at the outset is giving in Nectar of Devotion. When he is defining what is pure devotional service, Anyabhisa Shunyam Jnana Karmani Anaratam Anukulena Krishna Anusiranam Mukti Uttama, there he is defining or describing Lord Krishna as Akhila Rasamrita Murti, the reservoir of all transcendental mellows, from who the principle or the concept of love itself emanates from Lord Krishna. So whatever love we have towards our near and dear one, it is nothing but it's a reflection of the love that is coming from Krishna through his medium Aladini Shakti, who is Radharani. And today we are going through a very auspicious month, Kartik month, which is the month of Srimati Radharani. So it is not only important to understand how to get out of the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death. How to get out? Lord Krishna is explaining. Janma karma che me divyam evam yogati tatvatah. Tekva mam punar janma naiti mam iti savarjuna. He says that, yes, you understand Sankhya Yoga, but really the fast way of understanding, of getting liberated from the cycle of birth and death, the quickest way of getting detached from this material world is to simply hear my transcendental pastimes, understand the transcendental nature of the pastimes, so that you don't have any punar janma, which means you don't have any rebirth. Okay? So it is not only important to understand the principle by which we should get out, but it is also important to practice that principle. So we will just end the class with a few important aspects of Damodar Lila that we got a very good opportunity to study under Kesha Prabhu in our Bhakti Vedanta course this year. So, and just hearing this Leela, the important aspects of this Leela will help us meditate on this Damodar Leela much, much more deeper than probably what we have already been meditated. So this Damodar Leela teaches us some very 9 key principles. Okay, there could be more, but 9 is what I could fathom with my limited understanding of Leela. So what happens in Damodar Leela? Essentially, Damodar Leela, Lord Krishna is being breastfed by Mother Yashoda. And Lord Krishna is very happy in the lap of Mother Yashoda. And then Mother Yashoda sees that the milk is boiling on the
not stav, what do you call that?
Chula.
Chula. Okay. So it is mentioned that Mother Yashoda's mood is one first lesson that we learn. Mother Yashoda, when she is preparing that bhoga for the Lord, it is Srila Prabhupada mentions that she is composing poems about Lord Krishna's pastimes itself. She has composed these poems herself and she is constantly singing these poems as she is churning the milk butter. Yeah. So Prabhupada says that this should be the mood of preparing bhoga. Otherwise, sometimes while preparing bhoga, our mind is somewhere else. We may discuss politics and prepare bhoga. Okay, what happened there? What happened this? And with a very different consciousness, the bhoga will come. So she is mentioning. And Prabhupada is mentioning that Mother Yashoda, it's not only about the milk, but it is said that she personally chooses the cows who will give milk to the Lord. So only those cows' milk is given to the Lord, from which even other products are churned. And the grass also, which those cows eat, is also special grass. It's not common grass. So to that extent, Mother Yashoda is thinking. And when she's preparing, then she's singing these poems. So that is lesson number one. How to prepare bhoga. Lesson number two, the milk which is boiling there on the chulha or the stove, then that milk is thinking that what is the use of my existence, because Lord Krishna is very happy taking milk from your breast. So I have no service to Lord Krishna. So that milk wants to give up its life. So it's trying to enter the fire. So the acharyas have given that commentary. So milk is overflowing and coming into the fire. So how the desire, because in spiritual world there is no matter. Everything is spirit. So the milk is also, is a personification. So milk wants to serve the Lord. So it is deciding that if I can't serve, then there is no purpose of my existence. So falling into the fire. So that intense desire to serve Lord Krishna is the second lesson, which comes from Damodar Lila. The third one is, when the milk is boiling, Mother Yashoda is feeding Krishna. So she is under a dilemma. Whether to leave Lord Krishna and attend to the milk, or because I am serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I should let the milk overflow. So Prabhupada is giving the third lesson. He says that as long as our consciousness is to serve the Lord in the platform of love and affection, as long as that platform is there, then Krishna gives us intelligence. Tesham evanu kampartam aham agyana jamtamaha nashayami atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhashvata. So through inside us as a super soul, Krishna guides us as to how to prioritize activities in our spiritual life. So that is the third lesson from Damodar Lila. Of course, Lord Krishna goes out of the clutches of Mother Yashoda and then he goes inside, takes the pot, breaks it. Okay, and Mother Yashoda is very angry with the Lord and she is now chasing him with a whipping stick. So therein comes the fourth lesson from Damodar Lila. When Lord Mother Yashoda is chasing with a whipping stick, the fear which comes in Lord Krishna's eyes is called as Shatanka Netram. Shatanka Netram. Satanka comes from the word Atank. Atank is a very popular word. We hear in the news all the time. Atank means what? Terrorism. Terror. Atankwadi means terrorists. So fear is one thing, but terror is a completely different dimension of fear. And I was afraid. I was terrorized. So can you imagine the feelings which are coming out in the world of Satyavrata Muni? Atanka, Satanka Netram. So Krishna is terrorized by the stick of Mother Yashoda. What is the lesson for that? That person who terrorizes even Lord Yamaraj is terrorized by Mother Yashoda. So this is completely bewildering. One cannot understand this Shatanka Netram unless one is a devotee of the Lord. So what is Lord trying to tell here? That by love I am conquered. Love of Mother Yashoda completely covers the Aishwarya feature of the Lord. So lesson number 4. Lesson number 5 is the binding of Lord Krishna to the grinding motor by Mother Yashoda. Now it is mentioned that when Mother Yashoda tried to bind the Lord, the rope was always 2 fingers short. But ultimately she was successful in binding Lord Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada writes that he quotes the Isopanishad. In the Isopanishad it is mentioned that the Lord cannot be caught by anyone. He is swifter than the mind. So you can't catch him. But how come even the big yogis who are sitting in the Himalayas and meditating for umpteen number of years, they are trying to catch this Lord. How come Mother Yashoda is trying to is succeeding in this.
Even Lord Shiva, who wants to attain Lord Krishna, Lord Brahma, the goddess of fortune, goddess Lakshmi Devi, even they can't bind Lord Krishna. When the Narasimha Leela happened, Lord Lakshmi Devi did not even want to come in front of Narasimha. He said, no, better Prahlad Maharaj is there. I don't want to go there. When my husband is in this mood. Right? What to speak of binding the Lord. Right? Now Srila Prabhupada explains why is Mother Yashoda able to do it, which even Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and Goddess of Fortune, Lakshmi Devi can't. Srila Prabhupada explains that because all of them have got what is called as Ishvara Bhava to some extent. Lakshmi Devi is thinking, yeah, I am a servant of Krishna, but after all I am also the Goddess of Fortune. I mean, so she is having a little bit of identity that I am also a little bit great. Thoda, little bit great. Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, yes, Vaishnavana Yata Shambhu. But Prabhupada writes that they also have the feeling that they are Guna Avataras. Whereas Mother Yashoda has got no such identity. Her only identity is that I am his mother, I am going to chastise him now with this thing. So that is why she is able to get, Lord Krishna gets allowed to get bound by Mother Yashoda, because she is completely devoid of Ishvara Bhava. So that is lesson number 5. Lesson number 6 is what most of us have already heard. To bind Lord Krishna, to attain Lord Krishna, two things are important. Endeavor as well as mercy of the Lord. Without endeavor, we will not get mercy of the Lord. So it is mentioned that the gopis actually gave up. When they started tying, it was always 2 fingers short. They gave up. They said, no, we can't bind him. They realized, oh, he cannot be bound. And actually they started realizing that looks like he is someone really great. Something is going on here. So he is great. The moment the gopis thought like that, Lord Krishna got cautioned. Because the whole of 10th canto, everywhere, the Lord Krishna is trying to hide his Aishwarya from the gopis. Moment they thought like that, immediately he agrees to be bound. So here we see that that Lord Krishna is willing to be bound by the love of his devotee and immediately releases his mercy, seeing their endeavor to tie him. That is the next lesson. And that power of attorney to bind Lord Krishna is only given to his pure devotee. Nobody else. The 7th lesson is why Yashoda only is getting this mercy. So Srila Prabhupada explains that is because Yashoda Mai is Nitya Siddha. She is not Sadhana Siddha. Yashoda Mai is regarded as an expansion of the Aladini potency of the Lord. So Prabhupada is explaining that we cannot become Mother Yashoda ever. Even to think of becoming Mother Yashoda is not a proper mood in devotional life. But Prabhupada mentions, and Rupa Goswami also writes in Nectar of Devotion, that yes, we can also get the same mercy, but we have to follow in the footsteps of Mother Yashoda, not try to take her position. So in that mood, if we practice Raghavanuga Bhakti spontaneous, then we can attain that Vatsalya Ras as a servant of Mother Yashoda. That is lesson number 7. Lesson number 8 is, again, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole 10th canto, Lord Krishna is dealing with one anartha after the other. Right from Putana to Shakatasura to Trinavarta, so on and so forth, in that order. Every demon represents one anartha. So which is the anartha that the Lord is trying to expose through this pastime? Through this pastime, where Madikriva Nalapuvera, where cursed to stand as trees, Lord is telling us that never get intoxicated with your wealth. Never become too proud of your position or of your wealth. Then Lord Krishna will bring us down. Even if Lord Krishna does not want to bring us down, our Guru is more merciful. He will bring us down. So, Nalagriva and Manikruvara, who were sons of Kuvera, they had all the wealth at their disposal. So much wealth, so much intoxicated of their wealth, that even when they went to bathe in the holy river, the river Ganges, they were considering it as an ordinary water, and they were frivolously sporting in the water of the Ganges. They were naked and they were sporting in the water. That is not the mood of going to a holy dham. So when Narad Muni saw that, immediately Narad Muni wanted to, out of his mercy, he wanted to teach them a lesson and as well as deliver them from that miserable existence. So Narad Muni then cursed them. So Srila Prabhupada in this section gives a very interesting purport that to avoid the intoxication of wealth, because wealth will come to us whether we want or we don't want. If we don't have enough karma, or if the Lord doesn't want us to get wealth, we will never get wealth regardless of how much we work. Right? And if the Lord wants to make us wealthy, we cannot stop Him from giving us wealth.
Like for example, Sudama. Sudama got very wealthy. He couldn't stop the Lord giving him wealth. Right? So the Lord wants to give, we can't. But Srila Prabhupada writes there that devotees have to try to live in induced poverty. So our standard of living should not be proportional to the wealth that we have. Even if we have more wealth, it doesn't mean we have to increase our standard of living. So Prabhupada gives that lesson from the Damodar Leela. And how do we keep standard of living always induced poverty? Only if we are constantly in the association of devotees, of advanced devotees who are already detached from the material energy. By constantly being under that association, we will not come under the influence of the money that we have earned. So that is lesson number 8. And finally, lesson number 9 is the curse of a sadhu is always a blessing. So Narad Muni cursed Manigriva and Nalanduvera to stand as trees. But it was not a curse, it was the biggest blessing which even Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and Goddess of Fortune do not get. Because though they were cursed to stand as trees, they were not standing as trees next to some Yara River opposite Rao Tehu. They were standing as trees witnessing the childhood pastimes of the Lord. In fact, we pray at the end of Damodashtakam, oh my Lord, may I don't want this liberation, I don't want that liberation. But may your childhood pastimes may always be enacted in my heart. Now that privilege, Manigriva Nalapura got without any qualification. They were naked and they were sporting in the Ganges. But just because of the desire of Narad Muni, in our case Srila Prabhupada, though we were also sporting like that in the material world and continue to do so. But by Prabhupada's mercy, we will not be able to enjoy that material world. That is the mercy of a pure devotee. And though they didn't have any qualification, just because Narad Muni decided that Manigriva and Nalakuvera should be liberated, the Lord agreed to that. So that is the power of the desire of a pure devotee. Because Lord Krishna himself found Manigriva and Nalakuvera to be completely not qualified for witnessing his pastimes. One has to be completely free of sex desire to witness the pastimes of the Lord. And here they were supposed to be naked in the Ganges. So no qualification. But just because of Narad Muni, they were able to get that. So, as devotees, we have to remember these 9 lessons, meditate on these 9 lessons in this month of Damodar. Whenever we sing this Damodarashtaka, we relish and meditate on these lessons, try to imbibe that in our lives as much as we can, and make this Kartik month even more auspicious for us. I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
How does Lord Shiva remove false ego?
How does Lord Shiva remove false ego? Lord Shiva, the one beautiful thing about Lord Shiva is that he destroys this material world. When we come to know that this material world is very temporary and it is going to be destroyed, then and when we actually we see some destruction happening, then we realize our own insignificance. So in that way he removes our false ego. That is in his aspect of Rudra. But in his aspect of Sadashiva, Lord Shiva is teaching us that the method of the process of attaining Lord Sankarshan, who he is meditating on the Japmala, is to constantly chant the holy names of the Lord. So through that he is explaining. The third way Lord Shiva helps in delivering us is by Lord Shiva becoming a clown for Lord Krishna in one sense. See the exalted position of this Vaishnava. Who wants to be publicly humiliated, being besotted by a woman in public and running after her spilling semen all along the way? Now, Lord Shiva doesn't have to do it actually. It is mentioned that when Chitraketu was flying, at that time Lord Shiva was lecturing with Parvati in his lap and giving class on control over the senses, on celibacy to all the yogis, but with Parvati in his lap. Right? And the whole pastime of Chitraketu was that he smiled and Parvati misunderstood. So here is Lord Shiva, who is the most celibate person. Now, when he sees the Mohini Murti form of Lord Vishnu, he is running mad. He leaves his Parvati there. She is also wondering, what happened? Where is my husband? My chaste husband. My loyal husband. Now, he is actually, if you read that Leela, if we do not understand the position of Lord Shiva, for a moment we think, my God, it is almost like a clown he has become. But he is becoming a clown just to give instruction to all of us that don't be proud of even of your celibacy. And also more importantly is, in any form that Lord Krishna comes, he will attract you and take you away, even if you are the most celibate person. Right? So in that way, in many ways, then Lord Krishna helps us enhance our affection and love for Lord Krishna through these pastimes and through by giving us the process of chanting the holy names. And then Lord Shiva comes as Advaita Acharya. And because of Lord Shiva, in fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted here. Because he worshipped the Tulsi and water. So in this way we do it. What can I answer you? But still, since you asked a question, I have to serve you in some way, so I'll answer that question based on my limited understanding. So, yes, Rupa Goswami mentions jnana karmadi anavritam. So, but that jnana, which Rupa Goswami mentions, is speculative knowledge, which has to be given away. But knowledge, as mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's jnana in one sense, but it is jnana which is leading to bhakti. So that jnana which leads to bhakti should not be seen as mundane jnana. Yes, if we have to go through scriptures just to understand, for example, if you are doing Ayurveda, if you are saying, or if you are reading the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas, then the knowledge, then also knowledge is required to ascend, how to ascend to the heavenly parents, etc. So Rupa Goswami is saying such knowledge has to be rejected eventually. Knowledge of Varnashrama Dharma, that also has to be rejected eventually. Sarva Dharman Parichitya. So Varnashrama Dharma is Dharma. So that Dharma itself has to be given up later on, at the end of the day. So the only example that I remember in my childhood, I learned that when a rocket goes into space, then a rocket is given, booster rockets. The main rocket carries the payload, or what is called a satellite, right? And then there is a booster rocket. This booster rocket is actually helps the rocket attain escape velocity, which propels the rocket out of the gravitational pull of the Earth. But once the rocket has escaped the gravitational energy of Earth, then that whole booster rocket now becomes a burden. So therefore, it has to jettison those into the ocean. And then the rocket is going around with the payload or the satellite in one sense. So this knowledge is also like that. So knowledge of Varnashrama Dharma, of Karma Kanda, etc. ultimately has to lead to Samasiddhi Haritoshanam. Ultimately has to lead to devotion. But once one has attained that devotion, once, as you rightly said, once one has attained that simplicity, then one doesn't require any knowledge. In fact, we see also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where one person is just looking at, he's an uneducated man looking at the Bhagavad Gita, and he's just shedding tears. And when Mahaprabhu asks, what are you doing? He said that, I'm crying at this Bhagavad Gita. And he said, are you reading anything? He said, no, I can't understand anything. My guru has told me to read this, but I'm thinking how merciful Lord Krishna is, that he is becoming the charioteer of Arjuna. And that's all his understanding is about Bhagavad Gita, and that is good enough. Because the mood of appreciation of Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the mercy of the Lord, he has understood, which is what is the summum bonum of all the knowledge. So all this knowledge has to lead to that state of simplicity. Sometimes knowledge leads to arrogance, and that is what the problem comes. More the knowledge, one starts serving less because of more knowledge. But actually knowledge which takes us outside the gravitational pull of Maya and leads us towards Krishna is useful knowledge. So that is my understanding. And that is why Prabhupada also, in fact, gave instructions saying that one must study all my books. And in fact, Prabhupada said, when we go through the VTE manual of education, Bhakti Shastri and Bhakti Vaibhav, Prabhupada said, one must write exams. There must be exams, Prabhupada has written. So Prabhupada himself has emphasized deep study of his books. So without studying Srila Prabhupada's books deeply, then we will not be able to extract the various aspects that Prabhupada is trying to communicate to us, of some point that he is trying to make. And studying, personally for us, studying under Kesha Guru for the last 11 years has immensely benefited us. So at least for myself, I can speak. Mahatma Guru, you will agree with me. You have been with us and Chaitanya Prabhu has been with us since last 11 years. So really helped. So thanks to Srila Prabhupada for that. And thanks to the Disciplic Succession, which is helping us understand his books. So it's 9:20, I'll stop here. ग्रंथ श्रीमद् भागवतम की
जय
भगवान
जय